Please be seated. And good morning again. Today, we celebrate Jesus Christ as our King, the ruler of our lives, our Savior and Redeemer. Every year, before the first Sunday of Advent, we get an opportunity to reflect about Christ as King and Lord of the universe. And also, we get an opportunity to review our role as citizens of the kingdom of God. The Gospel of Matthew is a pretty judgmental gospel. It constantly reminds us that our actions or lack of actions have consequences. And today's text from Matthew is no exception to that. When it comes to our capacity to love and make a difference in the lives of our neighbors, none of our lives are insignificant in the eyes of the King. But this text should not be interpreted as an invitation to start evaluating our charitable deeds, and much less to think or imagine that by our good deeds, we can accomplish salvation. If we think that way, I guarantee that we totally miss the point. This text, rather than an invitation to evaluate what we are doing, is a profound invitation to evaluate how we are loving. And the way we love can be expressed in how we respect and care for the lives of our neighbors. I have always believed that this text offers a great description of the kind of life Jesus wants for each one of us. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Food, water, and clothing are but reference to the basic needs for living. Needs that most of us, me included, sometimes take for granted in this country, but that are still luxury for many people around the world. Being welcomed, taken care of, and visited are also expressions of needs that are equally essential for the kind of life we are called to live. Food, clothing, love, and affection. There is no better description of the abundant life that Jesus wants for each one of us. And after all, if we are honest, that's all we fight for in this life. As I already mentioned, Matthew is a very judgmental gospel. But it is pretty significant that the judgment here in this portion of Matthew's gospel is not about faith, not about being ready, not about making disciples, not even about coming to church every Sunday, but about loving in a way that can be practiced and expressed by anybody, absolutely anybody. These opportunities to show love by sharing with others are things within the reach of each and every one of us. And I have to say, it is simple. This is a kind of gospel that preaches itself. It is not difficult or impossible. True love shows itself in things as simple as offering a glass of water, sharing food, paying a visit, or smiling to someone in need of a smile. And here is where it becomes really powerful. Whenever you do that to any of the least of the members of Christ's family, which includes anyone in need around us and around the globe, you do it to Christ himself. Let me tell you, this is as real as it can be, because our King, the King we celebrate today, knows what it is to be in prison. He knows what it is to be hungry, for real. He knows what it is to be in need of affection in the most desperate hour. He knows what it is not to be welcomed. Let me say this again because it is kind of confusing. This text is not about what you do. It is about how you love. But love is never, absolutely never, indifferent to the needs of others. The righteous in today's text are surprised to realize they had cared for the king because they simply shared who they were and what they had freely without calculations or expectations of any kind. This helps to understand that salvation is not something we accomplish, but something that happens when we love the way our king really wants us to love. Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." If only we could see Christ in the faces of those in need, I guarantee that the world would be very different than how it is right now. Let me share a story with you. Years and years ago, when I was still living in Cuba, I drove to our diocesan convention center in Havana for a meeting. I arrived there about 7:30 in the morning after 3 hours of driving. 3 hours of driving in Cuba with very bad roads is, multiply that for three, for the equivalent of 3 hours of driving here. I walked into the dining room that was also used as a conference room and served myself a cup of espresso. I was probably 29 and still in my driving clothes. When you drive a Soviet or Russian 1972 car, you better use different clothes to drive in, just in case of a breakdown. Before I could drink my cafecito, that's Spanish for a little coffee, and to make it, to bring more flavor into the story, my cafecito was already served. But before I could drink it, a lady came to me and asked, "Are you here for this event?" I said, "No, what event? I'm here for a meeting." And then she said in a very rude and very loud way, I'm putting a lot of varnish here, "Well, this coffee is just for the people attending this event. I'm sorry, you cannot have it." Before I could say a word, all of this happened in probably in a minute and 20 seconds. Before I could drink, I could say a word, another staff member reached this lady and said, oh, wait a moment. She mumbled to her, "That's Father Andres, and he's the bishop's son-in-law." This lady immediately apologized. She said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I did not know who you were." And I can tell you that not to make the situation more embarrassing than it already was for anyone, I had my cafecito and left the room with a taste of how someone without my privilege at that moment would have been treated in our diocesan house. The king we celebrate today is inviting us to show others, no matter who, especially those in need and without any or many privileges, the overflowing love that he has shown us. The king, the kind of king that we believe in, is a king that can be found in each other. If you cannot remember everything I have said, just remember this. What you do to others, you do to Christ. how you love others is how you love Christ. What you do not do for others, you do not do for Christ. That's what it means, truly I tell you. Just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Whether you live a life of love or a life of selfishness, your actions do have not only real and present, but also eternal consequences. Pure love is living according to the values of that kingdom. And it is not complicated. It is really simple to understand. Live a life of love. That's all that matters. And remember that when you love those that cannot do anything for you, I would say even those that in your eyes are not worthy of love or of being loved, you are loving Christ himself. This is the invitation that this text has for each one of us, citizens of the kingdom of God. I pray that our relationships with one another, especially during such an extraordinary and difficult year, can show and reflect the abundant love that Christ, our King, has shown for us. Take the invitation. Amen.